The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
What's coming up on today's experience? Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as my daily devotions. This is where those daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life. But there's cool things in life. Cherry pie, that's good. Ice cream, that's good. Pat on the back, that's good. Sound effects, that's good. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. A lot sooner than you think. You don't want to act busy, you want to be busy. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use if we decide to use them, if we decide to put it into practice. Kind of like the doing of the word and not just hearing. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Always a terrific question. Also a Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is David Spoon. I will be your host for the next 5,400 seconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to this show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen. We don't care that much. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. That process. I'm going to share a story with you that happened to me. I think you'll understand what I'm talking about more clearly when I explain this story that happened to me in my computer when I took it in to get fixed. In the meantime, if you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, a prayer request, a praise report, if you have something you want to share that the Lord's working on in your life, if you have an answer to Bible trivia, which we'll do in the next segment, if you got something that's just on your heart, fantastic. We want you to have that open door in this Christian community. Specifically, you can call 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Terrific T will answer the phone, and that'll be terrific for you. You can also text 214-210-8483. Comes right here on my desk, right here by my phone. That's 214-210-8483. Don't call that number. I can only get texts on it. And then additionally, well, you can leave a voicemail. And then additionally, you can email david@hemustincrease.org. That's live, too, while we're doing the show. david@hemustincrease.org, which leads me to this. Before we do our website plug, we were going over the money pretty deeply yesterday. Always fun to do budget day, isn't it? Always the favorite day of everybody. Hey, look, we don't have any. Here's what I need you to do. If the Lord puts it on your heart, if you're willing to do it, and not by guilt, but only by cooperating together in partnership, if you can give, great. If you can't, don't worry about it. I still pray that the Lord bless you just as much as in any other way. But we do ask you to check into it. Go to hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, so that's a good place to check that stuff out. I'm going to tell you about this story that happened to me, but I do want you to have that freedom to call. I'm going to share my story, and then I'm going to go into these other things. But I was, in the very beginning, giving a little bit of an intro about what it is to live life as a Christian, that thingy. So I'm going to give you a good example that happened in my own life that I feel even now the Lord is trying to teach me and mold me in. So about 3 weeks ago, we had to take in Noelle's computer. For those that don't know or are new to the show, Noelle is my best friend, my wife, my just bestest everything. She mothers the children. and she smothers me with love. She's the best. And she works full-time, by the way, at Tom Thumb's Floral in Rowlett. So if you're ever out there, you can go in and say hi. She loves to talk to people. She's just great. And she loves flowers, and that all works great. So her computer had a problem. Every time you'd stick the computer pin in there to charge it, it would fall out. It would fall out. It turns out that there was something faulty with the charging part of it. We took it in 3 weeks ago. Okay. We thought we were going to get it back within 4 days. We didn't hear anything for 8 days. We sent them a message. They're like, oh, we're still waiting on the part. It's delayed. We're like, okay, we'd like to know. Keep us posted. And this went back and forth for a while. Finally, yesterday, they were like, your computer is ready. They didn't call me. I called them, right? Get this. So I call them and they're like, oh yeah, the computer's ready. I'm like, yeah, probably could have called me. All right. So we're going through all that and then we bring the computer home and guess what? It doesn't work. Okay. Now, the reason I bring this up is because I typically would have blown a gasket right there. I'd have been like, but instead, I feel like the Lord is really trying to teach me not to overreact to silly things that have no real deep bearing in life and don't take those kind of things so deeply. And so instead, I just dropped it off. I dropped it back off today. They said they'll take care of it. They've already fixed it, which is great. But the point was, this is probably more of a trial for me than for them, trying to have an attitude that doesn't flip when something doesn't go the way you want it to. You know, all of us people who are controlling, you know what I'm talking about, you controllers, you people out there who are just like me. And I just sense that the Lord is challenging my character to do better. There's nothing wrong with dropping it back off and being prayerful. Maybe I'll run into somebody when I pick it up tonight, and there'll be some purpose that's way beyond my knowledge. This leads me right into our discussion on our first teach. And the first teaching today has to do with something that a lot of people don't like to hear about. You know, Jesus loves you. It's fantastic, isn't it? Guess what? He loves you so much, he tests you. What? Isn't that awesome? What? John chapter 6, verse 3 through 6. When Jesus went up to the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near. Therefore Jesus, lifting up his eyes and seeing that a large crowd was coming to him, said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these may eat?" This he was saying to test him, for he himself, Jesus, knew what he was intending to do. But did you catch that? One of the 12, Philip, hanging out with Jesus, probably the disciple, the apostle that you forget the most about from time to time. Guess what? He was in the midst of a test. And people are like, well, God doesn't test his people. Of course he tests his people. Abraham was tested. Philip right here is tested. Of course the Lord challenges us. Is it so that he will know what will happen or so that we will know what is happening? The idea behind testing is for examination, but it doesn't take the examination giver to know what's going on. It takes us who are taking the test. We're the ones who don't get it. We're the ones that look at it and go, oh, man, I could have been more like Jesus in this process and not been upset about something that's not worth getting upset about. So in the thing that you're going through that's really irritating, like a computer that sits in the computer store for 3 weeks and you don't get it back, and it wasn't devastating, it was just irritating, and that's a difference. How do we do on those tests? Are we Christian truly, or are we just, well, I'm not going to throw something because Jesus wouldn't throw something, or are we genuinely thinking maybe there's something bigger that I don't even know about that God is doing? Maybe I can trust my daily journey and my daily tasks into the hands of God. I find this to be the challenge, or one of my challenges in Christianity. I've got a ton of sins that the Lord's working on in my life, so I don't want you to get the wrong idea. But I think from time to time, the Lord tries to make it plain that the things that I overreact to are just a bad, not spirit-led fleshly decision of the moment, and that creates more angst and anxiety and worry and concern and frustration and anger and disappointment than anything else. And I think the Lord's trying to say, I'm trying to save you from yourself, because when you do that, nothing good comes of it. It's like, oh, so maybe I shouldn't be freaking out all the time. That's pretty easy to say to somebody who's a, you know, who's not an A personality, right? But we have to follow Jesus each and every day, picking up that cross, laying down what we think is the way to go, and follow the way that Jesus went. And so I tell on myself, I'm telling you right now. And they fixed him right away, by the way. They said, just come by and pick it up. I'm like, okay, great, no problem. Who knows what God will do with that? But instead of being mad at them or mad at the universe or frustrated in life, maybe I can just say, all right, Lord, I don't know what the delay was, but you probably have a purpose because you never do anything for nothing. So just tell me what I got to do in the process. Let me be more like you, Jesus, in each and every circumstance. I have a feeling if we freaked out a little less and responded with a little more mercy and compassion and awareness that the Lord is directing the situation, other people in the situation might take notice that our attitude or our disposition is unique and perhaps maybe even ask us, why did you handle that so well? And then we would have that opportunity to say what? Because Jesus is the Lord of my life, and he wants me to take it one step at a time with him as I walk through it. What would that not just blow your mind? Yeah. Don't put that past God, because I think that's how the Lord operates in all of our lives. We just don't realize that his workings are that intricate. And yet the hairs on your head are numbered. Interesting. All right, we're going to take our break here and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Just as I am, you reach down and see me.
The David Spoon Experience.
I am such a sinner. Not just a sinner. I am such a sinner. I'm like the biggest sinner ever. That's how I felt. And then it was the understanding that God really cared about me. And therein lies the key. Because God did care. He does care. And it's the same for you. You're listening to me. He does care. And that pain you're going through, it makes him weep. And you might say, well, you can't back that up spiritually or scripturally. Yes, I can. John chapter 11, verse 35. Jesus wept, not for Lazarus. Lazarus was getting up in 5 minutes, but all the grief and the pain around him. Come on. God has a heart. His heart's bigger than your heart. So here's part of the things that I'm skipping light years. I'm just going past it. But it's like when that guy started crying, I started getting mad. And then he said it was, this is how the Lord feels for you. And this is the Lord's heart for you. It just showed me I'm so hard hearted. I'm like a rock, but not in a good way. You know, I'm like a dumb rock. Like, oh man, what's the matter with me? And so you know what he did when he was done doing that? Because now I'm gone, right? Because now you, well, how do you think after that happens, how do you think I feel? Okay. So now I'm like, please pray for me. That's right. Because I'm just lost. And he prays for me. And it's powerful. It's like, you know, it's unbelievable. It's just really, very, really powerful. Here's the thing that leads up to it. Now, ready? And that is the powerful point, especially when he cried. But it turns out that I went to that church for a little while. You want to hear something absolutely, positively, mind-blowing, amazing? 3 months later, on a Sunday night, I was preaching in that church. And I was preaching Romans 1:16, the very first thing I ever taught in my life. In that church, in Pastor David Huntsworth Church, Abundant Life in Dillon, Colorado. And I'll tell you one thing that I hope you really hear, and that is that one experience so affected me, I was never
the same person again. It just showed me that God really does care. We're pretty hard-hearted. Yeah, we're mashugi from time to time. Not God. He's totally awesome.
Why does Sally sell seashells by the seashore when anyone can pick them up on the beach for free? What does she sell them for? I don't understand.
The David Spoon Experience.
If Jesus Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Getting ready to do our very first trivia question before we do our DNA. Here's our very first trivia question. Okay, now you don't need the name, but you kind of need the identifier. You'll understand when I ask the question, who cried out at the top of her voice when she saw Samuel raised from the dead? Ooh. Who cried out at the top of her voice when she saw Samuel raised from the dead? For those that are really scratching your head, look at 1 Samuel 28. That's a tough one right there. Not making it easy. Dave, opening up the gate, showing that you can do this. I have confidence in you, especially if you'll hunt it down in 1 Samuel 28. Okay? All right. Joanne and Cordelia just swinging away. They just put them up to bat. Bang, bang, bang. Base hit. Or home run. Call 972-445-0770. That's the number to call if you're going to answer that trivia question. Oh, that's funny. I should have got to talk about that. And then also if you text in 214-210-8483, that's the text. And then you can also email david@hemustincrease.org. Okay, somebody is already calling in, so I'm going to delay. See, delay. See what you do? You act like you're dumb. You go duh, and then finally they get through, and that way you don't waste as much time on the air. Ready? Here we go. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, this is Samson. How are you?
I'm doing great, brother. Turn your radio down, but I can hear you. How are you? How you been?
There's no radio.
Uh-oh. You're just loud with the wind.
Because radio killed a radio star, so there's no radio.
Okay, bro. All right, my good brother. How have you been? Have you been doing okay?
Yes.
Good.
That was when Saul came to that meteor or sorcerer, that lady. So when she saw, she screamed.
That's right. That's exactly it. She's the witch from Endor. That's who did it. She saw him and screamed, and then she realized, uh-oh. And some people think, well, she was a phony, but then the Lord showed her that. Or some people think she was really into it, but then, you know, it was revealed. It wouldn't matter one way or another. She knew immediately, this is beyond my scope. What's going on here? That's right. Excellent job, my brother. We're going to keep praying for you and for your wife and for your kids and for the family you have in other countries, all right?
That's right. Thank you for praying, and keep praying.
You got it. Nobody's going to give up on you. We're going to keep believing God for you.
All right. Thank you, brother.
All right. God bless you.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Samson, see, sometimes when you call in the car, that's what happens. It's a little noisy. You know, she's just trying to figure it out. Okay, so it was the witch at Endor. People are like, Endor, that sounds like a Star Trek term. Uh-huh. All right, let's do our DNA, because that's something that we're made of on a regular basis. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Daily. How often? That's daily. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. That's the N. And A, always be ready.
To serve.
To serve, because that's the conduit between you, God, and the people that God wants you to touch. That's probably why we should not get so quickly annoyed. Maybe that makes a little more sense there. Okay, a couple things I want to share with you. I'm going to make a short announcement up in the next hour. I do want to let you know that I think I talked to Jennifer, and T had something to do with this, so I think all of our little fills are fixed so that I don't think we'll have any more. So if you hear something that says 2 o'clock or you hear something that's like wrong, you tell us and we'll just work on it and get it done. But I think from now on you're going to hear about Bert, which yesterday was the first day that Bert didn't well, he only destroyed a little bit, so I was really happy. He didn't destroy things the normal amount. I think that's kind of cool. All right, folks, get ready. Here you go. Here you go, here you go, here you go. This is the toughest. I think this is the toughest thing that I teach right here. John chapter 6, verse 7 through 9. So we're carrying on from the story where Jesus was testing Philip. And he said to Philip, you provide it. You take care of it. And you know, and it's like he was doing that to test him. We just talked about the Lord testing us. Here's that next exchange. John chapter 6, verse 7 through 9. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them. For everyone even to receive just a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are these for so many? Now, there's nothing wrong with these guys. These guys are just like you and me. The people who think these are the most special people. Not until they hung out with Jesus, they weren't that special. And Andrew, who's Simon Peter's brother, points out when Jesus said, you feed them. And then Philip's like, okay, look, 200 denarii, like, would not be enough. There was just not a chance that we can pay for this. This is not going to work. This is not going to be handled this way. Then Andrew goes, well, we got 5 loaves, 2 fish, but what's that? That's nothing. And that's the attitude that the Lord challenges. Right there. Lord, I have this and this, but I don't got enough. What are these? There's just not enough. It's not enough to handle my situation. It's not enough. I don't have enough emotionally to get through this. I don't have enough physically to get through this. I don't have enough financially to get through this. This in particular is a financial, what appears to be a financial need. That's where you get the 200 denarii worth of bread. That ain't going to be it. That's not even going to be enough. Thousands of dollars of bread won't even be enough. Well, we got 5 loaves and 2 fish, but what? There's nothing there. The key is to understand that your real provisions are in God, and the provisions that you think are sufficient outside of God are never adequate. Even if we had 200 denarii of bread, it wouldn't be enough. And Jesus goes, what do you got? We got 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Jesus goes, we're in business. Let's do it. So he took what he had and he gave thanks. So how does he approach it? And this is financial for you and me, for rent, for car. No, I were talking about this last night. I picked this out before we had our conversation. Oh, we got to do this financial. We got to do this financial. It's like the same thing, only I picked this out before we had our conversation. What Jesus did is he took what he had and he thanked the Father for it. He didn't open up by complaining what he was short. He thanked him for what he did have, didn't complain about what he didn't have. Right there, if we could just make that one switch, we would be sufficiently better disciples of Jesus Christ. If we can just come before the Lord in our situation, in our need, and say thank you and genuinely mean it for what we do have, instead of saying, I don't have enough, where are you? Which is what we often do. If we were genuinely thankful for what we did have, instead of complaining about what we didn't have, that would open up the treasures of heaven for God to fill in. On top of this story, which a lot of people miss, is Jesus didn't only thank the Father for it, he gave it away. And it came back. That's kind of a cool way to think of it. But what I'm talking about is the practical. For people are like, you don't understand, Dave. My bills, my outgo, it's $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000. I don't think you understand. God is not challenged by your debt. Okay? That doesn't phase God. but he is loving your faith and will help you through. Our adequacy for us to be self-sufficient, same thing that happened with Adam and Eve. I know we don't think of it in these terms, but you can go and you examine it. It's an amazing element. But as soon as Adam and Eve thought that they were naked, they went and dressed themselves. After that encounter with God, after God corrected them and so on and so forth, God gave him his clothing so that Adam and Eve wouldn't use their own clothing because their own clothing was insufficient. And if you want sufficiency in your situation, then you and I, and this is me too, trust me, I'm preaching to me, teaching to me just as much as I am to you. I need to be looking to God and his provision and not try to do something outside of his kingdom and outside of his realm in order to create or fulfill the need. If I'm entrusting God with it, then I need to do exactly that. Trust him for it. And many of us, and I do this a lot, I'm sure you do, trust God and even last in that for a little bit, but as soon as it gets tighter and tighter, that faith squeezes smaller and smaller. Till unfortunately for some, it gets smaller than a mustard seed, and it gets to be less than a grain of sand, and it gets to be even less for some. Here's the bottom line. Jesus took what he had and said, "Thank you for what you have given." And God multiplied it. So instead of complaining about what we don't have, we should probably be thankful about what we do have. Offer that up before the Lord and tell the Lord however you want it to be used, whatever direction you want it to go. Because here's an amazing statement of truth. All the money or finances, all the resources you have in your entire existence, you are simply a steward of, including the breath that you take. All of it belongs to God. He's the owner. You're the renter in everything.
My life is my own.
If it's your own, then you just won't die on the determined day you're supposed to die, right? Whoops. I guess it's not your own. See how simple that can be, but how complex? All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, taking a quick break. Back at the top of the hour, don't go anywhere.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame. It may be false.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the purpose of human creation? God was bored and wanted a Tinker toy set to play with. He wanted a Petri dish to look at so he can go, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
As opposed to the mindset that says, well, this whole thing is a divine experiment. The Lord was bored. Impossible to be bored if you're not stuck by time, by the way. Oh, you didn't think of that, right? Because he's not bound by time. The purpose of human creation ultimately is four words. Here we go. The purpose of creation for humanity? To fellowship with God.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.